Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Cop Eye Podcast. This is the Nottingham Forest preview. It is Mick, as always, and I'm joined once again after he hasn't been on for a couple of weeks. So, I mean, I'm losing track of time as I'm getting older. It might be a couple of months, actually, but it is Jamie. Jamie, how are you doing?
Oh, Mick, I'm great. Excited to be back on the Cop Eye Podcast, get back to talking these Reds. Everything is good, and things could be a lot better come 12 o'clock my time tomorrow over in Boston if Liverpool take the 3 points against Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, it feels like another like massive game, I think, to lose when you go to Europa League games at home. It doesn't feel like the same as like obviously a Premier League game and a Champions League game, but after the game, I felt like that was a good step with the amount of changes we made, 8 changes, and then trying to build on that after the derby going into this one. I think it's like just for Liverpool to start getting a rhythm, I feel like is quite key, because we've seen in previous seasons with very different Liverpool sides that once Liverpool start to get on a bit of a run and are able to make those changes that we need to keep people fresh, I feel like we can go and get onto a good vein of form. I feel like we're hopefully starting to see that. I think the Spurs and Brighton results aside, which are both difficult away games, I think we've been terrific this season. And tomorrow's another massive chance for players to come back in and just keep the red machine ticking along, isn't it?
Yeah, no. Nottingham Forest is not an easy side to deal with, so they're definitely a team that should be respected and not taken lightly. Even though they don't have as many wins in their win column, they have more wins and draws than they do losses, which is kind of the divide at that point in the table on, I think, 10 or 11 points with, I think, Brentford just ahead of them. And I think they've only lost to Arsenal, City, and Manchester United for whatever it's worth. But as you said, you know, these couple of fixtures and pockets of games that we've played in post-international break, getting 2 wins on the bounce and just trying to get the good feelings back for Liverpool. I mean, around this time last year, almost exactly a year ago, I believe on the 22nd of October, we had lost to Nottingham Forest 1-0. So what 365 days can do for a difference in morale all around the club and in the supporter base. So it's a really, everyone's getting G'd up for games now, which is amazing.
Yeah, and I mentioned like yesterday with Evan, like we were talking about the midfield and how it's been like so drastically changed. And I posted like a little clip of our show back in July where we were talking about the arrivals of the new midfield and how the strikers are going to be scoring loads of goals and how we're excited about how it looks going forward. And we've already started to see great signs of that already. Of course, at that time we were predicting what was a positive, hopefully going to be a positive outcome. And in the very short amount of games we've seen so far, the players that we've got, the likes of Szoboszlai and Gravenberch more recently, and McAllister playing in the six, even Endo, who's performed very well against Toulouse, there's great signs of, like I mentioned, like having good players, but also having great players in reserve as well who can come in. And the fighting for positions and the amount of top quality we've got in there, even especially in the forward line as well. You don't know who's going to play, but even if you are surprised by maybe a Jota comes in or someone else comes in, it's not like you're worried. You're again excited by how good Liverpool can be in those link-ups that we're starting to see between certain sets of players like Nunes and Salah, which has been cultivating for a while now, with Nunes getting eight assists for Salah in his career so far. But it's those type of link-ups and the strength and depth which is exciting as well, isn't it?
No, for sure. And I mean, you know, depending on how you look at it, you could even consider it to be an assist for Ryan Gravenberch the other day, if you
100%
the logic of off the
he meant that.
Past. But even Curtis Jones and Harvey Elliott as well, it feels like lots of players from last season who we wanted to see take the next step. Nunes obviously getting settled in. Curtis Jones now more on his own. Harvey Elliott now more on his own. With this new look, Liverpool 2.0, there's so many players who have stepped up. And with the new signings that have come in, I really think that there's obviously a learning curve and they're getting better. But I don't think that you could ask for the squad to have gelled more quickly in the way that it's done. And there's still so much room for improvement. But from what we've already seen, Klopp looks revitalized. Virgil van Dijk looks revitalized. Mohamed Salah is as consistent as ever. I mean, that finish against Toulouse, I think, goes really under the radar for how beautiful, efficient, and just characteristic of what an absolutely deadly finisher he is. And so with this new team, so to speak, it's just a pleasure and a joy to watch every time they come out, because you know that there will be goals. I think the only thing we're waiting for now is more consistency defensively with clean sheets and limiting these little errors, because we still have that niggling aspect of going 1-0 down once every two or three games, depending on the run.
Yeah, I think that's, you're spot on. Like there's times where, I guess, new system, new players, and because everyone's adapted so well, you don't expect perfection, but you'd expect a near perfection when the likes of Szoboszlai are on the field and you've got Trent in there. And of course, I always just think of the Brighton game where Van Dijk plays it into McAllister, and it's a bit of a car crash of a scenario, really, where Brighton end up scoring from it, and Alisson's of course not expecting it and they score from it. But it's little things like that where if you can eliminate those slight errors, and most of the midfield are brand new, so it's still early days, but the signs that we're seeing are very promising. And you mentioned before about Forest and how they're doing. Apparently, I haven't heard from their manager in the last couple of days, but apparently Teo and Divock Origi, so both former Reds, are going to be out of this one, which I think is very good news for us. I mean, if it was away from home, like you mentioned with the previous fixture last season, Teo was a man possessed. I mentioned it yesterday, like how I've never seen Konate struggle quite as much as he did against him in terms of like a physical battle. He's a beast, and he's a physical presence. And if they're without him, I feel like it's a big sigh of relief from our point of view in terms of who we're going to start. But if who are you thinking then in terms of lineup? Because I mentioned like Konate struggled a little bit against Teo. But if he's out, I'm just going to read to you the lineup for the Everton game which we played recently. So we had Alisson in goal. We had Trent, Konate, Van Dijk, and Tsimikas. Midfield three of Szoboszlai, McAllister, and Gravenberch, and then a forward three of Salah, Diogo Jota and Luis Diaz. Are you thinking any changes to that for the Forest game?
If there's potential changes, I think it could be at left back, because I know that Klopp had mentioned Joe Gomez can play the position. So I don't imagine that he would say something like that unless it was a realistic possibility that Gomez could be there as cover or as a starting deputy. It's hard to say, because we're at the point of the season where every single Premier League game in this scenario, we really should be going as full strength as possible, I feel. And just to respect the Premier League as much as we possibly can above all else. I think up top as well, Nunes, Jota, and Gakpo all will probably be in contention for the center forward spot. I think Klopp likes to have the option of Nunes on the bench because of what he can do to tired legs in a second half. But in the same breath, Nunes can also be effective from the start. So it's a real toss up. I think the only positions of where things might change could be maybe Jota comes in on the left wing and either Nunes or Gakpo starts, or Diaz is on the left wing and either Nunes, Gakpo, or Jota in the middle, and then left back, Kostas Tsimikas or Joe Gomez, and then everything else probably the same from last time out against Everton.
Yeah, I think the Gomez one at left back is an interesting one, because obviously Robertson's going to be out for, and Klopp hasn't put a time frame on it because it's going to be a long time. But Tsimikas has been an able deputy, and I don't think he's been as good when this season and compared to what he was maybe last year when we've seen him in the side. But I think Gomez, I think especially with this new setup where Trent drops inside alongside McAllister if he's at the six, then I've got basically a back three of Konate, Van Dijk and Gomez, which, I mean, on paper, it's ideal because there's a lot of pace there. They're all over 6 foot. They're all physically strong. I think the only question is maybe Joe Matip. I said it again yesterday to Evan. Like I keep being surprised by, I guess we're being clever with Konate because he does pick up quite a lot of injuries, and we've kept him on the bench a few times even when he's fit. But I think that's also a testament to Joe Matip, isn't it? Because I think there was question marks about whether maybe he's, I don't know, his ability is less than that. Of course, that happens slightly as you get a bit older, but the experience and how well he's adapted to that new system, playing basically as a right back when we've got this new system, I feel like he's done very well. And I think keeping Konate out the side on merit more than anything as well.
Yeah, and I don't think we can understate the difference in the workload from this year's team compared to last year's teams, in terms of if you have Henderson and Fabinho in the midfield versus Szoboszlai, McAllister, Gravenberg, Jones, all much younger, can get around the pitch more. I think it's night and day, the workload that that lots of players were getting asked to put out last season compared to this year. I feel like I haven't articulated that in the best possible way, but I feel like the center backs have slightly less to do this time around, because lots of pressing and putting out fires before they get to your house has happened much more efficiently with the pressing than we've been able to do this year in comparison to last year. So I'm not surprised that Joe's form has taken an uptick.
Yeah, I think it's great news for us, because I feel like before the season starts, I guess the majority of us were hoping for another centre-back, and the Matip's upturning form and Gomez coming back into the side and touch wood staying injury free and performing really well. I thought he was really good against Toulouse again, even having to go to right back, and we know we can play left back as well. But also Kwanzaa coming into the side, I think he's provided himself as a as an able deputy. So I think there's plenty of options, and it's I think that's the key, because in, I guess, years gone by, we've had options in certain areas and we've been strong, and you kind of knew the lineup, and if we had everyone fit, we'd be fine. But I feel like this season, if someone was like Curtis Jones has got a red card, and Gravan Birch and other players have came in and stepped up to the plate and kind of filled the void. And I feel like in seasons gone by, that wouldn't have maybe happened as efficiently. The drop off might have been a bit deeper than it has been this season. I think that's why Liverpool are, I mean, in terms of the league table, we're 6 points behind Spurs, because obviously they played yesterday, but we can then go 3 points behind them. City are only on 1 point ahead of us. Arsenal are only 1 point ahead of us, and it's quite tight up there. But I feel like after 9 games, if after 10 games we're on 23 points, I feel like that is a massive statement. And again, it comes back to, for me, the midfield overhaul. Like, that we knew the players were leaving, but to lose Fabinho and Henderson, and then to bring in the players we have done, and for them to adapt so quickly. I mean, like we said with McAllister, there's been some negative part of that because he's playing in a different position, but there's been so much to be excited about, hasn't he, in terms of that midfield and just the options we've got on there with Harvey Elliott and coming off the bench and being just a perfect bench option. Like you mentioned, Nunes being a bench option. I feel like Harvey Elliott has been not as good starting games, but when he comes off the bench, he just knows the drill. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he's just got that ability to get on the ball and kind of just keep us ticking over. And that's what I'm quite excited about, how that kind of shapes itself going forward.
No, 1,000%. And seeing in 21-22, the way that Klopp was able to structure the rotations for the different competitions was immaculate, because he gave so many players purpose and a sense of fulfillment. And it manufactured these deep cup runs and being able to get to the last day of the season with a chance of winning all four competitions. It is a great testament to Jurgen as a man manager. It's a great testament to the way that the squad has been built. And it's obviously a testament to the players who go out and do it on the pitch and perform at the highest levels. And, you know, the thing I want to talk about that you just touched on, Mick, is 23 points from 30 if we get the win on Sunday, if I'm correct. That's not without saying the absolute storm of adversity that Liverpool had to come through in so many games this season, with the amount of daft, weird red cards and winning from losing positions. I mean, for God's sake, I still, we're not going to talk about it, but I still cannot fathom how we ended up losing that Spurs game, because we were the better team with 10 men on with 9 men on the field. It's actually ridiculous how much they've overcome until this point. And they don't look fazed by much. They look ready to, they look like, with all due respect to the Europa League, and we're there on merit because we had an absolutely torrid 60% of last season. But we look like a Champions League team in Europa League. And so this is definitely a team built to win now. Szoboszlai has touched on it in interviews. He wants to try and go after all four competitions. And I don't believe he's blowing smoke when he says it, because I see the way in which this team's confidence has been elevated in just the short quarter of a season that we've seen so far. And it's gotten the supporters going and getting everyone believing again that something will be possible this year. And that doesn't happen without legitimate results on the field to give you that feeling.
Yeah, because I feel like when we done a show back in July and we were talking about like being excited about the midfield, it's hard to predict. Like, is it just a good start? Is it going to be something that maybe fades away? And we still don't know that. But I think, like you said, from the signs that we've seen, it seems like Liverpool have just been rejuvenated by the people that have left and the players that have come in and just got on board with everything that Liverpool want to do. And the players that we've got, like the likes of Van Dijk getting captain and changing a few bits, Trent being vice captain and captaining against Toulouse, Szoboszlai coming in and basically being Trent's best mate now. And obviously striking up a very good relationship off the field, and I think on the field as well, being in a similar position on the field, there's plenty to be excited about. And like you said, like rightly referencing the Spurs game, the amount of red cards, if we've got 23 points out of 30 come tomorrow, it's massive how we've counterbalanced the, like you said, the adversity and got through at the other end. Because I think last year, any sniff of adversity, we crumbled at the first possible moment. And I feel like this season, I always think about this the Newcastle game, because the fact that we came back in that game in Nunes was like a trademark moment for him. Hopefully that we look back on that and look back and go, that was the moment where he just kind of breathed new life into, I mean, he didn't have to do it into his own career, because I think he's got a confidence in his own ability. But in terms of making everyone else believe that he's good enough for this league and he's good enough to score goals for us, because I think he's been absolutely tremendous. And like you said, even if he starts or he's on the bench, he's a threat always. And I think that's a massive positive for us. But yeah, so do you think Nunes will start then tomorrow? Is that do you think, or because I just feel like I would just always just go, right, home game, let's just go Salah, Nunes, Diaz, because I just feel like try and get the game won early, but then there's the Gakpo coming back and Jota getting a lovely goal. So there's problems, but nice problems.
Yeah, I mean, I know Nunes had been managing a little, I think it was like a cramp or something from the last international break, so maybe there's, going to be a little bit of a balancing of minutes over the course of this sort of block of games. So with Klopp, I think there's always the chance of, you know, he tries to listen to the doctors and give players as much rotation as he possibly can while keeping the squad as strong as he can. But I think this is probably a game for Darwin Nunez to start. I would love to see him just absolutely get into a rich run of form, where obviously in the Toulouse game, you see Darwin Nunez encapsulated, where he's got a great striker's finish, just buries it, top bins from about 7-8 yards with the angle, with the left foot, and it's the only way a place that the ball could go to score in that scenario. And he finds it seemingly with ease, doesn't even really have a celebration. And then he's got the situation where he rounds the goalkeeper and decides, yeah, you know, I'm just going to have a wall pass off the post to Ryan Gravenberch for a nice goal for him. But no, I want to see him get to the point where there's a run of 3 to 5 games. He's scoring every game. He's not missing any chances where you say he should have scored. And for the rest of the season, then he's got a blueprint and a base of, you know, I'm Darwin Nunez. I'm going to score all the chances that come my way that I reasonably should, because he probably does about half of the chances that he probably should. And it's already a lot of goals. So imagine when he gets into that 80, 90% efficiency tier, he's going to be wild. And the other thing about Darwin is, you just love watching him play, don't you? Whenever he gets on the field, it's just like, what's this guy going to do?
Yeah, it's like I mentioned it like yesterday again. Like when he scores, it's like you celebrate 1.5 that you would normally, just because of the man, and like because he's been wrote off, and social media being what it is, he's just been torn to pieces. And I think the miss against Toulouse, I think if that happens last year, of course it goes mad on socials about like how he's fucking up again and whatever else, and 85 million down the drain, except all the usual shite. But the lads ran straight over him. Trent went straight over to him, was obviously laughing and going, yeah, you don't basically done all the hard work, the going round the goalie, the turn round, the little clip round the defender where he took it inside, that was
beautiful.
So silky. Just needed to take a little breath and go, right, take another touch, just pass this into the net. But I think all the signs, and Klopp referenced that after the game, like he won't be worried about that. He was more excited and happy by how he took those steps to get to the goal. And then to give Gravenberch a goal as well was always nice. but yeah, then what? So before we go, what are you thinking in terms of score predictions, because you mentioned like Forest have, I mean, they're not doing as well as they'd hope, but they've lost to maybe the teams that you'd expect them to lose to, and coming to Anfield. What are you thinking score wise?
You know, I'd take 3 points just if you offered it to me in just about any fashion, with the exception of no injuries to any Liverpool players. Or red cards. But I want a clean sheet, and I'd like to see 3 goals. You know, just because I'm a selfish Liverpool fan that wants to indulge myself every time the Reds walk out. No, but it's getting to that point in the season where you want to see more good performances than okay performances, or performances where you just get by. If you go away to anywhere in the Premier League and you have a scrappy 1-0 or 2-1, you take it and you move on. But at home, you want to build that consistency of being able to not only win, but turn out good performances. And so I really want to see us, you know, take advantage of the situation and enjoy our football and get on a good run before the next international break and we play Manchester City. And this is a game that when you earmark, you have to win. If you're Liverpool, you have to win this game.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think I've won for 2-0 in the group chat. I just feel like, yeah, consecutive 2-0s in consecutive games, I will absolutely take it. And again, I agree, like clean sheets, we need to, it just breeds a bit of confidence as well. It's like, right, we've got a couple of games here, we've got a clean sheet, we've got the goals. And even if you concede one here and there, it's not the end of the world, but I feel like in these Premier League games, if you can just keep a clean sheet, and even if you win 2-0, even 1-0, I feel like would be a massive, I mean, Alisson Becker would be first and foremost absolutely made up to get more clean sheets, but I feel like it would help that defence as well. The new setup, it's not new now, but it's newish still, and especially with new players in there, like Tsimikas coming in, who doesn't play too often, and Matip getting more games in the side. So yeah, hopefully Liverpool can, I'll take any victory as long as there's no dodgy VAR decisions or red cards or injuries. But we know there's going to be at least something that goes wrong, because it isn't a game of footy, and it's not even a Liverpool game of footy. There's not a Premier League game of footy where something doesn't go wrong. So yeah, we'll see. But hopefully it's as smooth as it can be for the Reds tomorrow. Fingers crossed. But just before we go, I just want to say thanks, Jamie, for jumping on. I know it's doing this quite early in the morning, and it's especially early for you, five in the morning. But I just wanted to ask you how the coaching was going over in Boston.
Oh, you know, I apologize to the listeners just because of, you know, waking up. Maybe my answers might not have been as fast as they should have been. But not coaching is good. My team that I coach at Somerville, we're the 15th ranked team in our state. We finished up our regular season with 14 wins, 1 tie, and 2 losses. And so the last game that we played, and several other teams have to play, the rankings will solidify. But obviously, the higher up we go, the better chances and seeding that we'll get in the playoff bracket. So it's the time of year where Somerville is going for a state championship. So I'm made up and hoping the boys can get something done this year.
Yeah, so you posted a few bits in the group chat about like a few goals that you've scored, and I was like, yeah, that is nice stuff. And you're like, yeah, please Liverpool, let's score some of them goals. But I think it's testament to obviously a very good coaching system that you've got going there. But yeah, I'm made up for you. Hopefully you can keep it up, mate. I'm hopeful for you. But yeah, thanks very much for jumping on, Jamie. Really, really do appreciate it. If you're not following Jamie on Twitter, then go and do it. I'll put the all the details in the description on the show. So if you want to go and follow him, then you can do, because he talks a lot of sense and he's a good fella. So go and give him a follow. But yeah, nice one, Jamie, for jumping on very early over in Boston.
Thank you, Mick. No, I always love to come on. Thank you so much.
No worries. But yeah, nice one for jumping on. Nice one, everyone, for listening. And we'll see you all very soon. Nice one.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
Social Podcast Network.